The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Some people expect solutions to be expensive to be effective. This is not true. Everyone needs somebody who can be supportive and a guide. You'll find the answers you're looking for and the tools to both find answers and offer solutions on the Dr. Melanie Show. Now, here's your host, Dr. Melanie Barton.
Welcome to the Dr. Melanie Show on the Health and Wellness Channel. Each of my shows focuses on one or more of the aspects of the six areas of the prayer wheel. If you haven't yet, go look at it in my resource library, www.thedrmelanieshow.com. Today we're focusing on the physical, mental, and emotional areas in relation to babies' cries and weight. I'm still learning what my 8-month-old grandson's cries mean. He's got a certain kind of when he wants a drink with his meal and a kind of whiny cry when he's tired and fighting sleep. Weight loss and obesity expert Milos Pesic says 1 in every 5 children is obese. A JAMA Journal article reported between 2003 and 2004, those between the ages of 20 and 39, 28.5% were obese. Age 40 to 59, 36.8%, and 60 and older, 31%. It is not good that the United States leads all other countries in obesity rates. Often moms do not know what babies' cries mean, so they just put a bottle in their mouth. Well, that can lead to obesity and other problems. You see, infants equate satisfaction and comfort with eating. Then when they get to be an adult and there's a weight issue, they try depriving themselves of food, that satisfaction, but it feels unsatisfying, so they return to what does satisfy, and they gain more weight. My guests today are both former Voice America talk show hosts, Elizabeth Amey and Laurel Runyon. Elizabeth and RN will help us to distinguish babies' cries, and Laurel, a weight loss coach, will explain how losing weight is an inside job. Both have much to share with us. Let's first listen to the interview I pre-recorded with Elizabeth Amey, and when it's done, we'll go directly to our break. We're talking to Elizabeth Amey, who is lots of things, but most important today, we want to talk about what is the meaning of infants' cries, because it does affect children, not just when they're an infant, but it can have an impact on them the rest of their life. Not just weight, not just emotions, but many other things as well. So explain to us, Liz, why is it so important to understand what an infant's cry means?
Well, hi, Dr. Melanie. First of all, thank you for inviting me to be on your show.
Thank you.
Yes. And so to understand an infant's cry is important because it's the primary way that an infant communicates with us. There's different ways that infants communicate with us, you know, eye contact and their posture, their arms open, accepting or pushing away. There's different ways to kind of figure out what the baby's trying to communicate with us, but one of the primary means is the infant cry, and there are different cries. Cries of hunger, cries of discomfort, cries of a baby's cry when a baby's overstimulated is even different from all of these other things.
Oh.
And it's so important to understand the cry, and it's really a challenge, and we have to learn how to do that. We have to learn, you know, we have to get to know our infant, our babies. All babies are not the same. The reason it's so important to get to know the cry is because you can't treat all the cries the same.
Oh.
And now imagine this. You're a little baby, and, you're bored. Your mom put you down for your nap. You're all done. You're looking around your crib, and you're all set with this whole thing, and you want some entertainment.
Yes. I can identify with that with my 7.5-month-old grandson.
There you go. That cry is more of a query. Where are you? Hello? I'm awake. Right? Okay. So now don't get this confused. A lot of infants, when they do first wake up, are also hungry. You know, so sometimes we're feeding the baby because the baby's hungry and we're kind of doing two things, but the cries are really fairly distinct. And so if we end up assuming the baby's hungry all the time when the baby cries, we give the baby a bottle, and it does actually make the baby feel better because the sucking sensation of the infant does have this chemical reaction in the body that releases these feel-good hormones, which is why often we, even as adults, we eat to self-medicate. You know, if we're not feeling good, we have that ice cream or whatever. There's a reason we call it comfort food. And for infants, the act of sucking, especially in the first year of life, is really important to the baby anyhow. So I'm kind of diverging a little bit, but as we get back to why it's important to understand the baby's cry, if we feed all of the cries and the baby responds, obviously, the cries eventually start to sound the same. The baby learns that it doesn't actually matter how I cry or what I'm trying to say. I'm going to get a bottle, or I'm going to maybe, you know, put to mama's breast, you know, if mother is nursing the baby. Either way, what we're doing is we're telling the baby, oh, you want to be fed. And so this in the long term, particularly with bottle feeding, can lead to obesity, because what we're doing is we are we're training the baby. We're basically teaching the baby. Getting to know that infant's cry is basically getting to know your baby.
And how do you do that? How do you distinguish
the baby's cry? They sound different, but at the same time, it's not just the cry. And it's a little bit difficult to do, especially as a first-time mom, because I'm going to speak as though I'm the first-time mom, because I'm going to go back in time to when I was the first-time mom as I'm talking.
Okay.
But I'm also talking as a registered nurse, because I work in the labor room, and I do work with brand-new parents, and I also teach infant massage. So I do spend time with new parents. So I'm going to slip back and forth into what I've been through and then what I see as well.
Okay.
And what happens is that to get to know your baby, you need to actually observe your baby and spend time with your baby. And you're thinking to yourself, if I was this little baby, what would I be crying about right now? You know, and so we go through the kind of the logical things. Okay, is the diaper dirty? Does the baby have a clean diaper on? When was the last time the baby ate? You know, is the baby due to be fed? Is the baby uncomfortable? Is it too hot in the room? Is it too cold in the room? Is there a scratchy collar, a label in the collar of the baby's clothing? And thankfully now a lot of baby's clothing don't even have those nasty, scratchy labels in them anymore. But, you know, there's various things. Like, you know, you're going to go through this list of what could it be? And sometimes you come up with nothing.
Right,
and the baby's crying, and this is particularly difficult in colic, because you're like, oh my God, what's wrong with my baby? Why won't my baby stop crying? I'm doing something wrong. And you know what? I think I speak for most moms when I say we really do the best that we can. I don't think that anybody has a baby deciding ahead of time that they're going to feed all the cries and, you know, ignore their baby's cues, et cetera. So it's a matter of, it's a learned thing. We have to learn how to mother, and you can read all the books in the world. There's nothing like personal experience. And so it's basically, I like to use the term sensing into it, feeling into it. You're basically with your baby, and you're just trying to feel, what is the baby wanting of me right now? And sometimes all your baby wants to do is be held. And that's it. And then they just want to cry. They want to tell you they had a lousy day. They want to tell you that they want to roll over and they can't yet, and they've been trying all day long and they still can't roll over. They're frustrated, they're overtired, and they just want to scream and let you know that.
Uh-huh.
And it's the hardest thing in the world to do as a parent, is to just allow the baby to cry. And all you're doing is letting your baby tell their story.
Okay. That's comforting for the parent.
Absolutely. But, of course, that's after having met the basic needs.
Uh-huh.
Being sure that the diaper is clean and then and that the baby actually has eaten. I'm not saying don't feed your baby when your baby cries. It's just a matter of using a bit of common sense. And
it can be the person the child is with, they're unfamiliar with, and they're crying because of that as well.
Right. And if moms, for example, with postpartum depression sometimes have a little bit of difficulty cueing in to the baby's to basically noticing the baby cues. And a lot of these moms will do absolutely everything right. I mean, to the book, like by the book, to the T, do everything that they're supposed to do, but that kind of intuitive connection is missing between mom and baby.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is important to learn how to connect with the baby. And one of the ways that I've done some teaching with the infant massage, I love doing that, because what that teaches a parent to do, and it doesn't have to be a mom, dad, primary caregiver, it's basically communicating through loving touch.
Okay.
And so as you're looking at your baby in the course, we teach you about asking the baby permission to touch. It's you're kind of looking, you're making eye contact. You're really paying attention to your baby.
Okay.
And what happens is your baby's responding to you paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
And then your baby like smiles or coos or gives you that open posture that, I mean, we talk about the different cues in when I teach this. But your baby responds. Then, now particularly if there's like postpartum depression involved, mom is now getting something from baby.
Uh-huh.
Right? Right.
Okay.
There's a clear response to what's going on.
All right.
And so
can we have a clear response and take a break, and then we'll come back and continue this conversation?
Absolutely.
All right.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Do you know if kidney disease is affecting you? Are your kidneys healthy? You may have kidney disease and not even be aware of it. 26 million people have been affected by kidney disease. Teenagers today are being diagnosed with symptoms such as high blood pressure, diabetes, and obesity. These conditions can worsen kidney health and cause kidney disease. Be sure to tune in to Improve Your Kidney Health with your host, Dr. Rich Snyder, every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific Time, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. The information you get on this program could help save your life.
Are you ready to go green?
You've asked, and we've heard you. Voice America presents the Green Talk Network. Environmental topics are at the forefront of our society, and the Green Talk Network is here to keep you up to date on the latest trends and new innovations for the eco-conscious lifestyle. We'll help promote a variety of ideas on the environment, from global warming issues to how you can become more eco-friendly in your daily activities. Be a part of the solution, not the problem. Visit the Green Talk Network page on voiceamerica.com and tune in to help spread the green.
What it comes down to, ladies, is that defining line between been there, done that, and ain't going back, baby. Yeah, I've heard them call you yuppies and baby boomers, maybe even dolls, babes, darling, sugar, and sweetheart, but I say that women are truly amazing. Join Dr. Marlene for Amazing Women, Brains, Beauty, and Style, every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific, right here on the Voice America Women's Radio Network.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to the Dr. Melanie Show with your host, Dr. Melanie Barton.
To participate in our discussion this week, please call toll-free 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to drmelaniebarton@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to the Dr. Melanie Show on the Health and Wellness Channel. Today we're talking about interpreting infants' cries and how feeding them whenever they cry can lead to weight issues later in life. We're going to hear now the second part of the interview with Liz Amey, and as soon as that's finished, we'll go directly to a break. Let's listen now. All right, we are back in our interview with Liz Amey talking about infant cries and what they mean. So we want to pick up with, what's something that you can offer to parents to make them feel better about their ineptness? Because everybody feels guilty. Oh, I'm not a good mom or a dad. What do I need to do? So what can you offer them to let them know they're not as inept as they think they are?
It's really hard to make a parent feel like they're not inept in the beginning. But truly, honestly, none of us are inept. It is just a matter of relaxing into it and allowing the relationship to develop. And that does take, it does take effort on the part of the parent as well. For example, if you're trying to get to know your baby and, you know, the phone is ringing and you can hear the TV in the background and the music is blaring and then the text messages are coming through one after the other, a lot of these distractions take away from the interaction between mom and baby, or I should say caregiver and baby. I don't mean to keep going back to that, but just typically speaking, it's usually mom and baby together for about 6 weeks. And so you're that baby's entire world, and that can be extremely overwhelming to be somebody's entire world. That being said, it's very easy to then want to be chatting with a friend on the phone or text messaging, and because it feels like, oh my gosh, at least I have a minute to myself here. But in fact, when you're going to spend time with your baby, make sure you're actually paying attention to your baby. Because if your baby's looking at you, but you're looking at, for example, a text message, you're not getting, your baby's not getting that eye contact confirmation that you're actually there.
Okay.
It's about being present in the moment. And I know that's such a term that we use so much these days, being present, being present. Well, what does that mean? That means that when I'm changing baby's diaper, I'm not thinking about the grocery list. You know, I'm not thinking of, I have all this stuff to do and I'm tired. I'm thinking of, oh my gosh, there's my baby. Okay. Oh, messy diaper. All right. Whatever. Okay. Her skin looks good. Oh, she's smiling. She's looking at me. He's looking at me, or not looking at me. Do you know? So it's a matter of, handling your baby, touching your baby, allowing your baby to feel that you're actually present. You are absolutely not inept. It's a matter of learning how to be present with your baby. That's all it's about, is learning to be present. And when you're present, your natural intuition, if you will, your parents' intuition, you know, mother said, you know, I have eyes in the back of my head.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. That is, that's intuition. I have eyes in the back of my head. I know that boy's up to something. Do you know, it's that whole idea. It's just intuitively knowing something's up. And that comes with being fully present in the moment. And when we're fully present in the moment, we get to learn about our babies.
But what happens if, all right, people listening to this go, oh no, I'm guilty of that. How do I reconnect with my infant?
Okay. Well, first let's take the word guilt out of the equation, because I think we all, you know, I don't know what it, I hate that word, but I understand it. But from there, you know, take the word guilt out of the equation and think to yourself, okay, let's use a problem-solving approach. What I've been doing so far is not working. Okay, how can I change it? All right. So, and one of the ways is to practice presence, and pay attention to your baby, and allow that exchange of information to take place between you and your baby. It takes a while. You need to learn how to do it. And just to, one of those ways to do it is, there are courses on infant massage that are offered at many local hospitals. You, or wherever you had your baby. There's usually some kind of a telephone line, somewhere you can call for parenting advice, your pediatrician, someone will be able to tell you where there is a local infant massage class that you can go to, and I highly, highly recommend it.
So on a future program, you'll come back and talk more about that?
I would love to do that.
Okay, good. All right. So they can go call up the hospital or pediatrician to find out about infant massage. That's great. But what if the parent is into this cycle of feeding them every time they cry?
That you can get out of that cycle by the act of presence of, again. There are certain things, for example, bottle feeding a baby. It takes 3 to 4 hours for the contents of the stomach to empty properly and for digestion to happen. So if you're feeding before the 3 hour mark, and these are very, loose margins.
Okay.
If at 2 hours and 45 minutes your baby's hungry, your baby's hungry. But if your baby's crying an hour after the bottle, you're not going to give another one.
Okay.
Your baby may have an air bubble. Your baby may have a little tummy pain. Your baby may be bored. Your baby may be overstimulated and tired. Your baby may need to just cry.
Can you give us an example of how we would know if they're overstimulated? How would that cry be different, or is it individual with each child?
It's somewhat individual, but some of the key, some of the things that you will notice with an overstimulated child is they will startle more easily. That startle reflex for a loud noise or whatever, their arms go flying out and come back into the chest. They call that the startle reflex, the Moro reflex.
Okay.
The other thing you'll find is that when you try to make eye contact with your baby is looking away from you.
Okay.
That's a like, you know, not too much.
Okay.
That's too much. Your baby can push away with you with the hands. And so you can actually feel rejected by your baby, and that's not the case at all. Baby's just had enough. That doesn't mean you don't pick your baby up, but when you pick your baby up, you can just simply hold your baby, not hold your baby, pat your baby, bounce up and down, and sing at the same time, because that might just be a little bit too much.
Okay.
So you can just do one thing. You can just rest a hand gently on your baby and leave your baby on the surface that they're on, whether it be, you know, in your lap or if you were or in a bassinet or the crib, and just allowing the baby to feel your presence. And again, it's all about being present in the moment. It's extremely important. And you can get out of that cycle of feeding for everything. But you have to be very aware as a parent as to why you're feeding the baby. I didn't talk much about the breastfeeding part, but when parents are breastfeeding, it's not as easy to overfeed the baby, even if you nurse the baby a lot.
Okay.
It's not the same thing as the formula carries the same amount of calories all the time. Breastfeeding, the first part of the breastfeeding is higher in water content. And so basically it quenches thirst and it gives the baby, the opportunity to suck, to feel better. Right? Now on a real feeding, the baby's going to nurse for a longer period of time. And as the baby nurses from the, what we call the hind milk in the back, that milk calories more calories and fat content, and that's what makes the baby feel more satisfied and full. And this is the calorie content of the milk where the baby needs, for growth and stuff. So it's harder to overfeed your baby when you breastfeed than when you bottle feed.
Okay.
So you just need to be a little bit more aware of what you're doing to comfort your baby when your baby's crying when you're bottle feeding, just because it's so much easier to overfeed. And that's not a ding against bottle feeding. Obviously, as a nurse, healthcare practitioner, we're going to advocate for breastfeeding, but I don't ever want a mother to feel bad because she's not, because it is not for everybody. And so that's the only reason I brought it up, is to show the difference in that the baby does need to suck anyway, as I had mentioned earlier. So if you nursed your baby often, it really wouldn't make that much of a difference. We have to focus a little bit more on, if you're bottle feeding your baby, how often and for what reasons are you feeding the baby.
Okay. So yeah. How will the baby tell the caregiver that they are connected? What sort of signs will the baby give?
The baby will have a look of awareness on his or her face when you're what we call en face, when you're facing the baby. A newborn, is their vision, it's about 12 inches from you. It's like if you were holding your baby in your arms, mm-hmm. that natural distance between where the baby is in your arms and your face is about where they see as clearly as they do. Okay. So they see images and stuff. And so when you're looking at your baby at that distance and you're focusing on your baby will respond to you in a way by looking back at you. Okay. And when your baby's looking back at you, there's an exchange going on there, even if we're not aware of it. And the exchange to the baby is, I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
I see you. I'm here. I'm present. Your baby looks back at you, and if you're paying attention to the cues, you see your baby saying, wow, you're here. Mm-hmm. I see you. And it's very gratifying when you start to really notice these cues. It's a very, very gratifying feeling, because the beginning few weeks can feel like a void in time, like nothing is going on between mother and baby besides meeting, you know, the immediate needs of the baby.
Okay. We need to wrap it up. So what I want to know is, if people want to contact you to get more information about this and to see how feeding them can lead to weight problems later on, how do they reach you?
Well, on my website is www.holistichealingmoment.com, all one word, H-O-L-I-S-T-I-C, so holistichealingmoment.com. And then my email address is eca88@cox.net. That's COX.net.
Okay.
And please feel free to sign up for my newsletter, and I will keep you up to date on what is going on. And there's some things that you can download free off the website. And
okay. Well, we need to finish it up, but I really appreciate, Liz, you doing this, and I hope you'll come back and talk to us about infant massage.
Thank you so much, Dr. Melanie, for inviting me to be on your show. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you.
You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Taking care of yourself should not be complicated. The process of restoring your health can be simple, easy, and enjoyable by making a few small changes one at a time. That's the principle behind From the Inside Out with your host, Dr. Rhonda Nelson. If you're looking for a simple way to improve your health, we'll provide the motivation, encouragement, and information about how to restore optimal health one step at a time and from the inside out. Tune in every Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Join classical homeopath Piper Martin to discover an entirely new way to experience pregnancy, birth, and postpartum. Educate yourself and connect with the possibilities of new choices and opportunities for you and your baby. Learn to use homeopathy to support yourself and your baby both physically and emotionally. We'll also discuss topics specific to all women, such as understanding and accepting our bodies, relating to other women, and how to expand out of your comfort zone and discover new and powerful concepts. Tune in to The Whole Woman, Thursdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, on Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to the Dr. Melanie Show with your host, Dr. Melanie Barton. To participate in our discussion this week, please call toll-free 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to drmelaniebarton@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to the Dr. Melanie Show on the Health and Wellness Channel. Today we've been talking about how to interpret infants' cries. And now we're going to talk about what kind of issues can lead to weight problems later on. So we're talking to Laurel Runyon, weight loss coach, and she's going to share with us how losing weight is an inside job. Welcome, Lori.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Melanie. It's a pleasure to be on the show today and a privilege. So thank you for having me.
Well, I'm very glad that you agreed to be here. You have been through quite a transformation in your own life with your weight and your outlook on life. So what kind of powerful message do you want to say to our listeners?
Well, our bodies, Dr. Melanie, they're crying out to be heard. And we are not listening, but we seem to be jumping ship from ourselves. Elizabeth shared beautifully how a baby's cry is the primary way to communicate to a mother. Mm-hmm. Well, our bodies, Dr. Melanie, are crying out to be heard, but we ignore that inward cry. And this is going to lead to jumping ship and numbing our body with food. So as Elizabeth shared, when a baby's crying or screaming for food, our body is basically screaming for acceptance. Uh-huh. And most women have that hate or their dislike for their body. So we ignore that cry and we cover it up with food.
And we were taught many times to deny what we needed. That, you know, moms and women came second. Everybody else came first. So I think we were taught to ignore that inward cry.
And that is very true. And that's an area, Dr. Melanie, that's coached over so often, not feeling worthy. Or as you mentioned, we've been taught to ignore that. And so we're here today to no longer ignore that cry because it needs to be heard. And it's going to bring about powerful change in a woman's life.
Mm-hmm. And so for our listeners hearing this today, they might be going, what inward cry? Explain more about that.
Okay. Well, the inward cry is different for each woman. And that is why the coaching is so very unique. As we enter into coaching, into this relationship, we discover the inward cry and the why for the client. Now, an example, Dr. Melanie, of an inward cry may be judgment on oneself or judging others around them. It could be mm-hmm. sadness. Yeah, it could be hating their body. Uh-huh. I know you probably hear this a lot, Dr. Melanie, low self-esteem or a feeling of not, a feeling of not being worthy or deserving.
Yes.
So I know you hear this quite frequently, and depression is another big one of an inward cry that we are ignoring.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times the depression is anger turned inward, that there's things we just have not allowed ourselves to express, and we just keep trying to repress and suppress, and it turns into depression.
It is a vicious cycle, and it is so true. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, how do women, because I know that men have these things too, but your specialty is women. So how do women identify what their inward cry is?
How do we identify the inward cry? I love that question. Each woman's inward cry is going to be very different. Once again, sadness, depression. It could just be, once again, no respect for oneself. Mm-hmm. How we can determine that inward cry is, as Elizabeth said, being very present and in the moment, finding out what our inward cry is finding out what is making us gravitate towards these unhealthy foods and emotionally eat. So we need to figure out when we do leave ourselves or jump ship, why are we gravitating towards these foods? And that's where a woman has to stop and be in the moment and say, you know, instead of covering this feeling up right now, what am I trying to run from? What am I trying to escape from?
Mm-hmm. I often have women do a feeling diary before they eat to talk about what am I feeling? What's going on inside my body? So that they kind of see a pattern there.
Exactly. And I love the visualizations and journaling. It's really quite powerful for a client. You know, I'd like to add, Dr. Melanie, what happens if we do not listen to the inward cry?
Definitely.
And because I'm afraid most women are not listening to the inward cry. We like to go off a diet plan or a structured plan. It's all about the food. And actually, it's not really all about the food. It's about not listening to our bodies. We're ignoring them. So to touch on that, if we don't listen to that cry and we do ignore the issue that really needs to be addressed, this cry almost turns into a silent scream. And this creates that emotional eating. And for most women, that emotional eating causes a woman, once again, we've already talked about this, it creates the sadness and we experience the weight gain and the frustration. But the best part, Dr. Melanie, is that it is a vicious cycle, but it can be stopped.
Okay. And what does it take to stop that vicious cycle?
Oh, to stop the cycle, hang in there with me, ladies.
Okay.
Stay with the feeling or the emotion and be present. We need to welcome what we most want to avoid, Dr. Melanie. We're just running, so we really need to welcome that. Now, this can be so very painful for women, but trusting and believing that food, okay, let's hang on to this, trusting and believing that food won't solve the problem. It creates strength and empowerment, and we realize that we're much stronger than the food.
Well, like Elizabeth was saying, you know, there's endorphins that get created when we're sucking as an infant, and that satisfaction. So people are going to get that reoccurrence of feeling when they're putting food in their mouth, especially comfort foods. So how do you change that pattern?
Yes. How do you change that pattern of soothing that? I'm going to give you a really quick personal example of how I soothe a pain instead of emotional eating. This is going to be a small example. Recently, I had a phone call, and it was some distressing news, but there's nothing that I could have done about the situation. I just needed to have a listening ear. Well, as women do, I wanted to take on this pain, and it wasn't my pain to take on, but what I could do was really listen to this person. Well, when I got off the phone, Dr. Melanie, I did. I started taking on some of this pain, and guess what I did? I went straight to the refrigerator, and I opened the door, Dr. Melanie, and I opened the door, and I thought, Lori, you know what you're doing here. You're going into emotional eating. You have no control over the situation. So I had to ask myself these questions. Is this thought really true that this food is going to soothe me and take away the problem? No, it's not. What's the opportunity in this situation? It's questions that we have to ask ourselves, Dr. Melanie. I know it may seem very simple, but it's just as easy to think a positive as it is a negative. And as you know, we go back to the negative thoughts very, very easily. So we need to be very firm instead of leaving ourselves and jumping ship and numbing ourselves with food. We need to be very careful to question those thoughts. So I had to question that emotion. And I did. I shut the refrigerator and I went outside and I picked up sticks. I love to be outdoors, but that's something that worked for me. And another woman may say, okay, I like to knit. I like to exercise, you know, it could be anything, but we need to know our inward cry and what's going to soothe that without soothing it with food.
And I have found if I can distract myself, then the craving will often go away on its own.
Yes, it will. Yes, that is very, very true. And as the craving goes away by itself, Dr. Melanie, do you believe that creates momentum in our inward life to say, I have the strength to do this. I have the power within me to do this. I don't have to go to the food.
And they were talking about this on NPR this morning. The more that you exercise success with holding off on something like that and do it in a way that you feel good about it, it makes you stronger and it actually helps your brain to be able to do it the next time easier.
So and I'm, yeah, Yeah, thank you for sharing that, because it's very powerful. And I hope the ladies are really grasping what you just said. Because that right there, Dr. Melanie, is us creating a stronger, more powerful story. Instead of going to the weak story of, I can't do this, this just won't work, that takes us back to our old behaviors. The new behavior is going, you know what, I can do this. The new thought is, I want to do this. I want to be healthy. So I appreciate you sharing that. That's right on.
Okay. Well, why don't we take a break at this point, and we'll come back and talk further.
Great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
A healthy dialogue for your lifestyle. Voice America Health and Wellness.
If you hear a dog barking or an angel singing, then you know that you are listening to Waking Up in America. Heard every Wednesday at 3 Pacific Time, Valerie Kirkhard and all of her friends will bring you powerful and humorous discussions that raise thoughts and give you insight on how to live your life to its fullest potential. Adventure is always a must on Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkhard, every Wednesday at 3 Pacific.
Ask Theo Live is talk radio like you've never heard before. Following her near-death experience, world-renowned author and spiritual medium Sheila Gillette became the direct voice channel for Theo, a consortium of 12 archangels. Through this unique channel, Sheila and her co-host Marcus Gillette present you with an opportunity to speak directly with Theo live on air on any topic you wish to discuss, including receiving authentic messages from deceased loved ones and angelic guides. Get the answer you need by tuning in to Ask Theo Live Talk Radio. Tuesday mornings at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Time on Seventh Wave Network.
Get the latest information in health and wellness when you tune into On the Radio with Dr. Ray. Each week, you'll find out the latest and greatest from both traditional and holistic perspectives. Your host, Dr. Robert Ray, better known as Dr. 90210, is the best known and most sought after plastic surgeon in Beverly Hills. Dr. Ray, with his co-host, Natalie Day, will help you get the dream body you've always wanted through diet and exercise, not surgery and medicine. On the Radio with Dr. Ray airs live Thursdays at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on Voice America Variety.
You're listening to The Dr. Melanie Show with your host, Dr. Melanie Barton. To participate in our discussion this week, please call toll-free 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to drmelaniebarton@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to the Dr. Melanie Show on the Health and Wellness Channel. I want to make certain you know I appreciate our engineer Brad and my executive producer Mark Pace, who keep me right on task. Today we're talking about interpreting infants' cries and how overfeeding them can lead to weight issues later in life. Before the break, we were talking with Laurel Runyon, weight loss coach, discussing how losing weight is an inside job. Lori, let's go back and talk some more.
Excellent. I love that, Dr. Melanie.
So you had your own journey. I think it'd be good for the listeners to hear about your own journey. So this inward cry you talk about, how did you respond to that?
All right. The inward cry. For my own life, Dr. Melanie, I talk about jumping ship or leaving oneself. And when I go into this story, what I mean by jumping ship or leaving myself, it's leaving my life. It's just, it's forgetting about the issue and just numbing myself. So to clarify that with those ladies out there that say, you know, what exactly is leaving your life or jumping ship? That's when we leave the issues and the problems when they truly need to be faced. So for me, Dr. Melanie, instead of jumping ship and swimming towards the food, I had to evaluate my emotions and my inner cry. For me, I was once 50 pounds overweight. I was stressed and depressed, and I too covered up my emotions with my favorite comfort food, but realized the power was no longer running towards the problems. I had to stand, Dr. Melanie, I had to stand in the middle of my life and no longer pass blame. Now, Dr. Melanie, do you know, when I say pass blame, I find that I was passing blame on my circumstances, my family, my husband, my work, my environment. So I wasn't taking accountability for my actions, and I was passing blame, and I was running for my life.
And that kept you from working on yourself if it's somebody else's problem.
Exactly, exactly. I'm in victim mode. Are you kidding?
Uh-huh,
It's everybody else's problem. You know, it's my sixth grade teacher's problem. So,
yes.
So, yeah. So basically, when I say what had to change, you know, was this a little painful? It was, because I had to change. I had to change inside. So my old thoughts created emotions that made me run towards food. But as I began trusting really who God created me to be, and he did not create me, Dr. Melanie, to live in fear or frustration or sadness. And I had been running from myself for a long time. So I did. I stopped, and I decided to look in that mirror and stop using food to numb my life. And Dr. Melanie, when I did that, honestly, and this happens to my clients daily, everything changes. You're no longer in victim mode. You become the victor standing in the middle of your life. And that inward cry that I just suffered with for so long, which was depression and stress, that cry was comforted with Christ and compassion and kindness and love and honesty. And I want you to hear this and see this in bold print. It wasn't food. It's not food. And this brought me to that inner thinner peace.
Was there some kind of a crisis, or does it usually take a crisis for women to reach this point where they're willing to listen to the inward cry?
Great question. For myself, I'm not going to go into this. I suffered with being overweight and unhappy, but for me, it ended up being a crisis, yes, to get me up and really moving. No, it does not always take a crisis. Sometimes we are just sick and tired of being sick and tired. Does that make sense?
It does. It does.
Yeah, women say enough is enough. I'm done. And I love it, Dr. Melanie, because I'll have clients that I would love to work with. And, I know that I cannot work with this client until they're able to take their eyes off the food and look inward. So it's very exciting for me as a coach when I receive a phone call, and the words they usually use is, "Lori, I'm ready." You know? They know this is not going to be about food, that it's time to get down to the nitty gritty and let's get to work. And so it's very, very sweet when I do get a client that's ready, because I can hear that anticipation in their voice of, okay, let's do this.
I know when clients come to me and they say, you know, I want you to fix this. They're not taking ownership. They're not ready. So I just tell them they're not ready.
Exactly. And I have clients that I will do a complimentary session with, and some clients I can't coach. I will not put them through the coaching process unless I know that they're truthfully and really ready. And they eventually come back around when they're ready. And that's when the true process really starts to unfold.
And that's you being honest with your inward cry to be real with them, to say, you know, come back when you're ready, rather than just, you know, well, this is my income. I have to do this. So it's taking care of your inward cry and really speaking to theirs as well.
Honestly, thank you. That was beautiful, Dr. Melanie, and it is so true. I coach intuitively. I coach from the heart. And when I know a woman's ready to address that inward cry, I'm ready to coach her, and I know she's ready. So, yeah, it's very much intuitive coaching, and is this person ready for this journey?
What I tell my clients, that each one that comes to me is a gift that is brought into my life, and that it's up to me to treat it with sacredness and respect. And if they can see that they are a gift, then we can work together. If they can't, they just aren't ready.
Beautifully, beautifully put, Dr. Melanie, and I can't agree with you anymore. And as you are, that's why I'm so adamant about when I do talk to a woman, if they're not ready, I will be honest with them. There's no reason to put someone through that if they're not ready, if their heart and mind is not prepared.
That's true. Because it's giving them information that they're not ready for, and so it doesn't have the value.
That's correct. Dr. Melanie, do you mind if we touch on, if we do not respond or ignore the inward cry, what happens to our body?
Yes, because, please.
Yeah, a lot of women are ignoring this inward cry, so I want to try to get this in, because there's ladies out there that go, you know what? I do have an inward cry, and I'm going to acknowledge that. But if they don't acknowledge it, and it is ignored, the weight gain will continue. I want us to think of an analogy here for a second, Dr. Melanie. If we would step on a thorn and only pull out just a part of the thorn, the foot, what happens to the foot? It swells and gets infected. Is that correct?
Correct, yes.
All right. So if we don't address the inward cry, this also infects our body and mind. It will cause disease, stress, weight gain, sadness, low self-esteem, and the big one, depression. Now, the thorn created the pain and the frustration, and there's issues in our lives that have to be pulled out, Dr. Melanie. They have to be extracted for us to heal inwardly.
And that takes time.
It takes time.
And it's a process. It doesn't happen all at once.
No. I had just a beautiful coaching call this morning, and it was really, really wonderful, because this client is, when we first started coaching, was black or white, and I've gotten her to see baby steps now. And that's what she referred back to today. She said, Lori, this is baby steps. I get this. This is baby steps, because she has to internalize the information. She has to practice the information, and she has to believe and trust herself.
Yes. And that isn't something you can make happen. They have to. It's an inside job, like you say.
It is an inside job, and it's up to the client or the person, the wonderful woman out there listening. You know, are they ready to look inside? Most women, Dr. Melanie, if we can just briefly touch on food for a moment. A lot of women are addicted to a diet plan, structure. There's nothing wrong with structure, but a diet plan, it has to be laid out exactly what's on paper. And what I slowly try to help women understand is, when we strictly go off what that diet says, we are not trusting our own instincts. We are not trusting what our body truly needs. And when we can finally move away from a diet plan and it has to be this way, we are actually connecting our mind and body and trusting oneself like we never trusted ourselves before.
Okay. We need to kind of encapsulate everything in about 30 seconds of what you talked about. So if they want to get a hold of you to be coached or know more, where do they go?
Yes, the website is innerthinnerpeace.com, and that's just the way it sounds, inner, I-N-N-E-R, thinner, T-H-I-N-N-E-R, peace, P-E-A-C-E.com. We have compliment. Yes, thank you, Dr. Melanie.
I will have them contact you, and I appreciate you being my guest today.
Oh, it's been an honor, Dr. Melanie, and thank you so much, and have a blessed day.
Thank you. Today, we're wrapping up. We had Elizabeth Amy talk about different infant cries, and we had Lori Runyon talk about weight loss as an inside job. And if you want to reach me, go to www.thedrmelanieshow.com. Next week, we're going to learn about children's psychic abilities from Jen Prothero, and Marian Long is going to explain to us just what healing touch is. So I want you to listen in, and I want you to tell other people about this show, because you can download it, you can replay it. So remember, to help yourself, help someone else. Until next week, goodbye for now.
Thank you so much for joining us this week for the Dr. Melanie Show. Please join your host, Dr. Melanie Barton, again next Thursday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. We'll see you next week for another great program.